Welcome back to the Darting Through the Faith podcast. That's what we're doing, right?
I think so.
Okay. I'm Father Sean. She's Julia. Uh-huh. And we're podcasting.
Podcasting today.
We are.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fun thing to do.
It is. For mm-hmm. those who enjoy fun things to do.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What else you know?
Well, Father Willig's gone this week, right?
Oh.
So I'm flying. So actually in our seminary, Christopher is gone.
Oh.
So it's like house to myself sort of thing.
Have empty nest syndrome going on?
Not yet. Not yet. What is empty nest syndrome?
Like when you're a parent with a bunch of kiddos and they all mm-hmm. are finally married or adults and move out of the house and
right.
you're in a silent home.
Yeah, I mean, last night was just the first time, and I was plumb tuckered out, so I just went to bed early. So I was like, oh, this is kind of nice. I don't feel like charity dictates me to have conversations. So
no one's here.
I'm going to bed.
Good night. Yep. No one in this house.
Right.
Yeah.
So
it's been a while since you have lived by yourself.
For a week, right, to be house. But there's been plenty of nights. I mean, and it happens quite frequently. Yeah. When there's a seminarian living with us, that doesn't happen as frequently.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Do you have so many people that go in and out of that rectory at Freiburg, these last mm-hmm. couple years that one of my family members was joking. They were like sending an invite to the house or something for a party or something. Mm-hmm. It was just jokingly to Father Sean Wilson and whoever else is in that house right now this week, whoever you are.
Yeah.
Because you're going to rotate in and out.
Yeah.
You are welcome. Mm-hmm. But that's a beautiful thing.
It is. It is nice to be able to host. Nice mm-hmm. to let people know they have a place to lay their head mm-hmm. and make it their own home if they
mm-hmm.
want.
Mm-hmm. Sure. So he's back. Did you say that Father Willig is at the seminary for like some...
A workshop.
Workshop stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. A bunch of, so the newly ordained priest, I think it's like 4 years and under. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. yeah, I don't know if there's a particular topic or anything, but by the time this comes out, he'll be long back.
He'll be back.
But
you
know.
Can ask him, how was it?
Yeah. You can ask him, how was it?
Yeah.
That's right.
That's good.
We were joking before he was going about having some sort of like competitions amongst the priests and some things between physical feats of strength and, you know, priestly stuff. But we didn't have any good ideas. But he said he was going to brainstorm about it on his drive down. Mm. I don't know if he was just being nice and humoring me or if that was actually going to be the case. But
so you know, we're all dying to know.
Either way, it was a fun kind of jokingly conversation that we had.
Did you come up with any good ideas?
We did, but I don't remember them.
Oh.
So how good were they?
They weren't
that good. This was like 7 days ago that we were having this kind of joking conversation. Mm. So
that's true.
I've had a lot of good ideas since then.
Okay.
So it's kind of kicked those ones out of the mental space.
Okay. I've been doing such great brainstorming about other random things.
Yeah. That, gosh, I can't keep track of it all.
I don't have the capacity to hold it all in my brain at one time. 7 days ago. What do you expect from me? All right. Well, that's good. So we can ask him about that too. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Good. I'm sure it's fruitful or being fruitful.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. You went to those like a couple years, yeah?
So they started the week-long thing at the seminary after I was already out of like the young clergy bracket, age bracket.
Right, you're old now.
Forgot. Yeah, so they would do like some overnights mm-hmm. twice a year. Mm-hmm. So I would call them baby priest slumber parties, mm-hmm. Which is not what they were called newer clergy overnights. So a little different take, but basically means the same thing. And so
potato,
I think they do.
Potato.
Yeah, they do those things fewer now, the overnights, and because of this week long. So
baby priest sleepover, slumber party. Yeah. Okay. Good. Well, good.
Yeah.
We're always praying for you guys. Good. Thank you.
Thanks,
guys, all of you.
Need the prayers.
You baby priests, you old priests, wherever mm-hmm. you are.
Yeah. Well, funny. So we had Father Alex Dugas's first mass, and it was beautiful. Yeah. You know, there was all these priests and seminarians came up, and had a parishioner come up to me afterwards, and was very, you know, like it was a beautiful thing. He said, "But Father, I got to tell you something. Like, I used to think you were a young priest, but then seeing all these younger priests and seminarians, like you're pretty much middle aged by now." Like, that's true. That's true. And that's one of the nicest things anybody's ever said to me. Cause I feel that way. Right.
Yeah.
Cause they're like, "Hey, you know, this seminarian's going to come up," and I'm like, "I don't know who that guy is.
Yeah.
I should get to know him."
Yeah. It was a couple years ago. You said like it started to where like you had been out long enough that you weren't, mm-hmm. you didn't know any of the
right.
Guys
and they don't know
in.
Me. Right.
Yeah.
Which is kind of, you know, it used to be like, "Oh yeah. Yeah. Father Sean. Yeah. We did this in the seminary." And they're like, "Now who's that? I feel like I've heard that name before." I was like,
uh-huh. He hosts the Darting Through the Faith podcast. You've never heard of Father Sean Wilson? That's I assume that's what people say about you.
Every seminarian's top three favorite podcasts. Darting Through the Faith.
on that note, I think we should continue.
We should. Let's pray. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord, we ask that you may pour forth your grace, that the fruits of Pentecost may be given to us as you breathed out the Holy Spirit upon the apostles in the upper room, so that they may be ministers of your mercy. We ask that you may renew this in all priests, in the desire to experience this mercy in all those who are listening, and all of those amongst our family and friends, that they may experience your mercy, the sacrament of reconciliation. We ask all of this through Christ our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
Paragraphs 1420 to 1429. Penance, names, and purpose. 1420 to 1429.
Right. So this is the very start of the section on the sacrament of penance. And it's going to go through also different names. Because like, I thought we called that the sacrament of reconciliation mm-hmm. or confession. Mm-hmm. And the catechism's like, yep.
Yes and yes.
And yes. And this yes. one too. And this one. And that one.
And have you thought name. About this?
Right. Right. It's great.
Yeah, it is
but
great.
But the first two paragraphs are just about the sacraments of healing in general. So the sacraments of healing being penance. And which other one, Julia? Quiz show.
The anointing of the sick. It was right in front of me.
That's all
right. Right. Okay. So we get a little intro
you're not
into
cheating,
that.
You're not trying, right? Am I right, Julia?
That's right. That's not right. I'm not advocating that.
But you did for a split second.
I did. And I immediately regretted it.
Don't just agree with everything I say.
This, very true. Very true.
That's a good lesson.
There's not that, going on in
this
room.
That is a good lesson. Don't just agree with everything I say.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So sacraments of healing, paragraphs 1420, 1421, we're getting just like an intro as we go into the sacrament of penance specifically, right? Okay.
There's a great, like in 1420, talks about the sacraments of Christian initiation, man receives new life in Christ. So in baptism, we are really born again, right? We are transformed. We are a new creation in Christ. But now we carry this life in earthen vessels, right? Mm-hmm. So it's not like perfectly done where nothing's ever, you know, and we're in this insulated bubble and this new life in Christ can never be tarnished or broken. But we carry it in earthen vessels. It could get shattered. It could get chipped. It could get destroyed even. Mm-hmm. Not completely. Mm-hmm. So that the sacraments of healing are to renew, to heal, to restore what has been given in baptism. Mm-hmm. So man, the Lord's good.
Yeah.
Not like he's just like, hey, there's no return policy on that. Don't break it. Don't let it get chipped or get damaged. It's like, hey, I'll give you a great warranty for the rest of your life. As many times as you need it, you can have that fixed. Mm. It's like, that's a warranty right there.
Mm. That's really good. That's a great way of thinking about it.
Well, too. Praise God.
Yeah, it really is. This new life as a child of God can be weakened and even lost by sin, of course. So the Lord Jesus Christ, physician of our souls and bodies, who forgave the sins of the paralytic and restored him to bodily health, has willed that his church continue in the power of the Holy Spirit, his work of healing and salvation, even among her own members. This is the purpose of the two sacraments of healing, the sacrament of penance and the sacrament of the anointing of the sick.
Yep.
Yeah.
To heal the soul, which in turn really helps to heal the body. And you even see this like in that paralytic, which is the story that's referenced there in that paragraph, because as we probably know the story, the four friends carry their paralyzed friend on top of the roof because they can't get near Jesus. They just start tearing apart the roof and drop him in, which is, you know, like ridiculous, you know, like first of all, to climb up on the roof. And then to say like, well, let's just tear this thing up and drop him down there. Like the determination of his friends to merit his transformation. That's a shout out to the last podcast.
Yes, for sure.
Anyways, and when he's dropped there, Jesus says to that guy, my child, your sins are forgiven. And they're like, who can forgive sins? And like, that's not even what he asked. He wants to walk. And so, any hoosies. Yeah.
Yeah. Healing of soul and body. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. Those who approach the sacrament of penance obtain pardon from God's mercy for the offense committed against him and are at the same time reconciled with the church, which they have wounded by their sins and which by charity, by example, and by prayer labors for their conversion. Okay, they obtain pardon from God. From God's mercy for the offense committed against him. Okay, this is what's happening here. Oh, we have a special guest. We have an extra person in the room today. Well, welcome.
Bienvenidos.
What does that mean?
That's welcome in Spanish.
Wow.
Yeah.
No, I don't speak Spanish.
That's funny.
This is great. Should you give a name shout out or this person shall remain anonymous?
This person desires to remain anonymous.
Oh,
got the head shake of the...
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. You will never know. You listening to this will never know. But this podcast is now being recorded in front of a live studio audience.
Wow. Cue laugh track.
I did literally laugh after it.
Yeah, you
I'm
did.
I'm like one of those laugh tracks. Cue. Okay. Anyway. Yep. Okay. So
maybe we should record their laughs, right? In in chorus, so that whenever it's appropriate, we could replay the laugh track.
I'm sure we're going to have them laughing so hard that these mics will pick up their laugh, and we can do that.
You think so? Oh. Should we just give them a mic?
I have been advocating for a mic to be on that side of the camera for years now. Can we bring that back up in a conversation? No, she's shaking her head.
We looked into it, but like the technology really wasn't. Remember that one time we tried to record a three for podcast,
yes,
but
still
it didn't
sad
work.
About it.
I know.
But to put one over there. Anyway, okay. Anyway, this is good stuff. Welcome. Whatever you said in Spanish, welcome.
Bienvenidos.
Yeah, that. And welcome. Okay. So what is this sacrament called?
It's
got a lot of names. Wait, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 the catechism gives us. It is called the sacrament of conversion. Sacrament of conversion. Mm-hmm. That makes sense.
Because it makes presence Jesus' call to conversion. Mm-hmm. So we hear Jesus say, repent and believe in the gospel and say, okay, I'll go to confession, right? Mm-hmm. So like that's basically how we respond to Jesus' call to conversion. Mm-hmm. And we continue to live it in our lives.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's called the sacrament of penance, since it consecrates the Christian sinner's personal and ecclesial steps of conversion, penance, and satisfaction.
Right. So like penitentia is the Latin word that penance comes from. Mm-hmm. And so that word basically is, some would say, the Latin equivalent of the Greek word metanoia, which metanoia is like the change of your mind, right? To turn around. So penance is like this turning is very similar to conversion, which is probably why these are the two next to each other. Mm-hmm. But penance is also something that we do. So the penitential acts that we do are part of our conversion, right? So when we do penance, it's part of our active conversion. Yeah.
I'm recalling a whole episode a long time ago about that, like just that penance. Is that a thing? Do you guys remember that? Like where we talked about the difference in like our acts of penance, but also like the what's going on in the soul with that, what you just said. Anyway, maybe not.
I don't know.
I could have dreamt it.
You know, it was more than a week ago. So
oh, right. 7 days is the max of your brain.
Got it. Factory.
Right. We already discussed that. My bad.
Yeah.
My memory is obviously a lot shorter than 7 days. It is called the sacrament of confession, since the disclosure or confession of sins to a priest is an essential element of this sacrament.
Right.
Yeah.
So you're right, like part of confession is actually confessing our sins. Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds obvious, but sometimes we don't want to actually admit what our sins were. We just want to talk about it in really vague ways of said, yeah, I'm a sinner. Okay, how? Right? And we've got to name it. Now, that doesn't mean we have to go, well, it was 2:30 in the morning and I really needed some chocolate and my brother had some, but he wouldn't let me have it. So I took it while he was asleep. Like, okay, you stole some minor things from your brother.
Gotcha.
Got it.
Right. Yeah. Right. What about, can you pause for a second? It is totally related, but can you pause and give the good people listening some advice on being a penitent and maybe struggling verbalizing the sins they know they need to say out loud, but maybe are so ashamed of saying that they are struggling doing that? Like, can you give them some pointers of how to go about doing that?
Yeah. First thing first, just go for it, right? Like just, you know, like sometimes we overthink about how we're going to say it in just the right way. Mm-hmm. I would say just go for it. Mm-hmm. And there's funny circumstances of that. So a priest who's been a priest for a long time told me one time that he had this first reconciliation and this little girl came up and said, I went to hug my brother, but I choked him instead. Anyways, that was somebody just going for it, right? Just blurt, right? And if things get, you get a little too descriptive, Father will let you know, right? Or he'll just suck it up and listen to you. And that's fine. So first things first is like, you're not going to scandalize them. You're not going to make them worried or make them hate you. So just say what you need to say, right? So with that in mind, though, so first thing first, just say what you need to say. Second thing, give enough detail so that you know actually what sin is being talked about, but not too much detail that we're basically there with you, right? So like somewhere in between there. And that doesn't have to be an exact science. Again, don't overthink it. However, if you're really struggling, right, it's something on your heart, maybe something that you've kept bottled up for a long time, mm-hmm. it's fine to write it out, right? If you want to, you think about the story of the prodigal son, right? The prodigal son is going over in his head exactly how he's going to say this. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if that's where we need to be, that's where we need to be. And if you need to write out your, what you're going to, even if it's not just like, hey, write out this sin, right? Like gluttony, but actually you need to write out like how you're going to say that. Fine, right? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't get too like worked up about it. If you're not going to confession because you can't say it right, that's probably an issue of it's just time to get up and go. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. if that's helpful, mm-hmm. great.
Main point of the story, don't withhold these things from confession. There's no point. No need to be.
They eat you up.
Yeah,
too.
Don't. Yeah. I'm not going to say that. The priest won't know what that is anyway. I'm not saying that out loud. Everything's forgiven because I just, but you didn't, you know, right. You need to really, if you've got, right. if you're conscious of sin on your soul, mortal sin on your soul, right. please just say it.
And the church says name in kind, right? Mm-hmm. So for a mortal sin, or number in kind, sorry.
Okay.
So you got to give the kind of sin. Mm-hmm. So what the sin actually was and the number of times. Mm-hmm. Now that doesn't have to mean like, I think it was 7, but it could have been 8. Mm-hmm. You could say like, frequently or almost daily or mm-hmm. once or twice or mm-hmm. just one, you know, mm-hmm. like that doesn't have to be an exact science, but mm-hmm. if you are, you know, punching your spouse, mm-hmm. right. And it was one time in a fit of rage, not great, mm-hmm. not good at all. Mm-hmm. But if it's an hourly thing, that's really bad. Mm-hmm. Right. Like, and so we kind of get a number in kind. So that was mm-hmm. a terrible example. I'm sorry.
But in terms of different, in terms of like as the confessor who is being an instrument of healing for mm-hmm. that person and that soul, how you approach the counsel you give the penitent or anything right. is going to be totally different.
Right.
Right. That's
because you think about going to the doctor's office, mm-hmm. right? If you go to the doctor and says, yeah, my every time I eat this, this happens, uh-huh. right? It's like, okay, that's good to know. Uh-huh. But one time I ate this and I got IBS. It's like, uh-huh. well, if that was just once, like, yeah. that's a big deal. You
right,
know?
Exactly. Well, we know that.
Right,
that
like that's actually
sense.
Helpful.
Yes. Right,
you, you
right.
know, but if it happens every time, it's like, oh, we got an issue.
Right, right. There's something deeper here.
Right. And to know actually right. what kind of thing is happening.
Yes.
Like, every time I eat this, I don't feel good.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, what ways don't you feel good?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I okay. break out and I'm itchy and, you mm-hmm. know.
Right.
So. Think right. about going to the doctor's office. How much would the doctor want to know about whatever your symptoms mm-hmm. and your ailments mm-hmm. are and how frequently they occur?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Kind of similar for confession.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Jesus wants to heal that soul.
He does.
Mm. Okay.
He doesn't want you to have spiritual IBS.
Grace.
Cue laugh track.
Grace. Grace. We got to cut that out, Grace. It doesn't even make sense, she said. Okay. Well, if it doesn't even make sense, then we can leave it in. No, that did not get the laugh track going. That you might have heard eye rolls.
Cue sidetrack.
You might have heard eye rolls, and those were pretty heavy. Whatever. But anyway, okay. So called
I don't
sacrament
need your affirmation.
Of it's called the sacrament of confession. This is episode 2 of 3. It's gonna
get worse.
It's gonna get worse. I'm so sorry, but it is. Okay, and then it's also called the sacrament of forgiveness, since by the priest's sacramental absolution, God grants the penitent pardon and peace.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon and peace.
May God grant you pardon and peace. Mm. And I absolve, you know, like, mm. like that's the results of healing, right? Peace. Everything's working as it should. And then the last one, it's called the sacrament of reconciliation because it imparts to the sinner the love of God who reconciled. Be reconciled to God and also reconciled to the church.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the just beautiful things about these names for the sacrament is they actually build on each other, right? So mm-hmm. let's start with Jesus's call to conversion. And then how do we respond to that call? We respond in penitence and turning back around. Mm-hmm. And then part of that turning back is the confession. And the effects of our confession or what happens next is then we experience forgiveness.
Mm-hmm.
And once we've experienced forgiveness, we've been reconciled. We've mm-hmm. been brought back. So there's like, there's a great progression there and just like a logical kind of unfolding of what happens in us in through God.
Yeah.
So nice. Well done, writers. Nice. Ultimately, the Holy Spirit and a little Pope Benedict in there.
Nice.
Little Joseph Ratzinger and his cronies, his team.
Nice.
Right in this.
Nice. So the next couple paragraphs, 14, 25, and 26, are in a section called Why a Sacrament of Reconciliation After Baptism.
Right. I've already been baptized. I've been forgiven. I've been healed. I'm already a new creature in Christ.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You were washed, you were sanctified, you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. One must appreciate the magnitude of the gift God has given us in the sacraments of Christian initiation in order to grasp the degree to which sin is excluded for him who has put on Christ. But the Apostle John also says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And the Lord himself taught us to pray, forgive us our trespasses, linking our forgiveness of one another's offenses to the forgiveness of our sins that God will grant us.
There's a great line in there about the magnitude of the gift God has given us in baptism. So if we don't think we need to go to confession, we don't think we need to be restored, in some way, it's a failure to realize how much the Lord has given us and how much sin actually tarnishes that. So sometimes and I think this is oftentimes like we need to realize what the Lord is doing in a greater way and turn to gratitude. And then we realize like, oh man, I have fallen short. And that's one of the things that can reawaken our own a realization of our own sinfulness as we realize just how good the Lord is. And it's like, whew, I have not responded wholeheartedly. Let's go to confession. Be restored.
Humility, right? Growing in humility. Right. Seeing who you are in his sight.
And, right. Because if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us.
Yeah.
Right. If we say we haven't sinned, we're not convincing God, right? We're not deceiving him. He can't be deceived. We're just lying to ourselves. And sometimes to those who we love who probably know better, right? Like if I told my friends, I'm without sin, they would laugh and they would eye roll, right?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Yes.
They say, Father, you got spiritual IBS.
Sorry, we're moving on.
Let's move on. So this next paragraph is really beautiful too. So it talks about this new life that we are given in baptism. And then in 14:26, it says, nevertheless, the new life received in Christian initiation has not abolished the frailty and the weakness of human nature, nor the inclination to sin that tradition calls concupiscence. So even though we've been baptized, this brokenness, we still carry it in earthen vessels, which remains in the baptized, such that with the help of the grace of Christ, they may prove themselves in the struggle of Christian life. This is the struggle of conversion directed toward holiness and eternal life, to which the Lord never ceases to call us. So this great gift of this sacrament is all to aid us in the struggle to conversion, to grow in holiness, that we need his grace to help us. But we also need to recognize our need for this, right? That so even, you know, building so beautifully off of the last podcast, like our own recognition, our own penance merits the grace of forgiveness and the transformation that the Holy Spirit can offer us. Frailty keeps us in the battle, right? Keeps us awake in the battle, right? When we know we're like broken, we can kind of like say, oh, right, that means the devil's going to be attacking, right? It's like, sorry, war imagery, but like if you're on the front lines and you know the enemy's out there, you stay awake, right? You know, you're not like, ah, I'm just going to catch some few hours of sleep, even though I know the Germans are coming in, you know, but you're actually like staying awake to basically the enemy could be coming at any time because we know our own frailty. Spiritually, that's the same way. We know that your opponent, the devil, is prowling like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him steadfast in your faith.
Right. And not just that. We're not even battling spiritual attacks from evil itself, which we are definitely, but also with our own egos, with our own, you know, with our own minds and the world around us too. So the world, our ego and Satan himself, like we're
the world,
we're
the flesh, the devil. Huh?
That's right. But this struggle of conversion is directed towards holiness and eternal life to which the Lord never ceases to call us. I got distracted there. My mind was like floating. This word concupiscence, we've talked about it. It's a great word. It's a great reality to know. We've talked about what that is, the reality of that, because we can beat ourselves up in that, like, why do I keep making the mistakes? I'm really trying. And why can't I just get this figured out? It's so merciful to remember that that's not acceptable. We do need to strive to overcome these things, to grow in virtue, to allow the Lord to heal us, to overcome these sins and our sinful inclinations and all of that. But to know that, like, this concupiscence, like we're directed to this, to these, you know, we want to do the good, but we do the bad is what, you know, Paul says. And there's I don't know, there's mercy in that. With it's like a healing salve for us right. that are maybe too hard on ourselves right. at times, or maybe too hard on others too at times. And I'm remembering a beautiful confession I made years ago, and the priest looking at me with eyes of like why did that happen? You know, and it was almost like I could tell like he. Like you know better. It was like one of those things. Like, mm-hmm. why did that happen? And then all of a sudden, it's like he was overcome with concupiscence. And he didn't even like take the time to explain what that meant. And I didn't know what that meant at that time. But you could see that mercy in him of like concupiscence, of like pouring out of, okay, this is, I should have known better. Or maybe I shouldn't have fallen in that way. But at the same time, okay, this mercy is here and absorbed with that. Confession is such a beautiful beautiful part of our souls, not only healing and reconciliation and what is actually happening, but gosh, just these little moments, like you've talked about it on that last episode too, right? Of just these moments where we are the penitent before the Lord, before his priest in the confessional, and he just pours his grace out time and time again in that sacrament.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like the Holy Spirit's like a surgeon just going right to the heart of things. Mm-hmm. And yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. But I mean, just to backtrack, like maybe people haven't heard us talk about concupiscence before, but basically concupiscence is the reality that at the fall, relationships were broken and not irredeemable, but they tend towards brokenness, right? Our own relationship with others. And we see that in Adam and Eve, they begin to accuse them. Yep. They begin to accuse each other, our relationship with God. So we tend towards this kind of disharmony with God. Mm-hmm. You think Adam and Eve, they went and they hid from God. Mm-hmm. And then even this relationship with the self, right? So like this, like we don't know ourselves. St. Paul says, I do the things I don't want to do. I don't do the things I want to do. Mm-hmm. And that can even be seen in like how they begin to clothe themselves because they're embarrassed of their own bodies. Mm-hmm. And so there's like this kind of brokenness. And even with nature, right? We see that like we're not working in harmony with nature. So concupiscence is the reality that we, in our lives, is broken relationships. Mm. And it takes work and grace to heal those relationships with ourselves, with each other, and with God, and with nature, really. Mm-hmm. And with our bodies, too. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So
you said it's not, what did you say? I was going to write it down, and then I was really engaged in what you're saying, and I didn't. It's not something, but redeemable. What did you say there?
I don't know.
Not perfect, but redeemable, something like that. Anyway, that was really beautiful. Go back and listen to that. Write that down.
And then share it with Julia.
And then please tell me. Yeah. You're right. Okay. The last few paragraphs then, 14, 27, 28, and 29, is a section called The Conversion of the Baptized. Jesus calls to conversion. This call is an essential part of the proclamation of the kingdom. The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. In the church's preaching, this call is addressed first to those who do not yet know Christ and his gospel. Also, baptism is the principal place for the first and fundamental conversion. It is by faith in the gospel and by baptism that one renounces evil and gains salvation, that is, the forgiveness of all sins and the gift of new life.
Right, so baptism, the primary place of conversion. Mm-hmm. There's a great image of this. At one point in the church, they would they would turn towards the West when they were renouncing the devil. So do you renounce Satan? I do. And all his empty works? I do. And all his empty promises? I do. Mm-hmm. And then you would spit towards the West and then turn to the East, to the rising sun, right? Mm-hmm. And then you would profess your faith in Jesus Christ. Like, that's a conversion right there. There's a symbol of spitting towards the devil, saying, I'm done with you and your empty promises.
I know you want that to Christ. Make a return into the right.
Yeah, but I don't want to have to clean up people's spit in church, you know?
Right.
Maybe we'll do it outside or something like that. Or maybe I'll just do it on behalf of others.
Right. Mm-hmm. Well, it's powerful symbolic language. We'll put it that way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Symbolic spit. So that's the primary place of conversion, right? And that church really recognizes that. However, in our own day and age, with so many people being raised in the church, baptized and then falling away, anymore, it's not only that, right? Mm-hmm. Another important place of conversion is the second conversion. So this is in 14:28. Mm-hmm. Christ's call to conversion continues to resound in the lives of Christians. This second conversion is an uninterrupted task for the whole church, who, clasping sinners to her bosom, is at once holy and always in need of purification, and follows constantly the path of penance and renewal. This endeavor of conversion is not just a human work. It is the movement of a contrite heart, drawn and moved by grace to respond to the merciful love of God who loved us first. So it can be a big moment, right? Somebody goes to confession for the first time in 45 years, right? Big conversion, or we realize, right, even somebody like I've had this where I go to confession every week or two, and then there's particular confessions like, oh my gosh, Lord, I am so broken, right? And there's that incredible moment of returning to Him. But it's the constant one, right? Uninterrupted task that the church has of calling sinners back to her love, to her heart.
Clasping sinners to her bosom. Ah, I love that. Okay. St. Peter's conversion, after he had denied his master three times, bears witness to this. Jesus's look of infinite mercy drew tears of repentance from Peter, and after the Lord's resurrection, a threefold affirmation of love for him. The second conversion also has a communitarian dimension, as is clear in the Lord's call to the whole church. Repent.
Right, so communitarian. So this is something like our sins are never just me and Jesus, but our sins actually hurt the whole church, right? They actually pain, cause division, they tarnish, they decrease holiness. And so it's one of the reasons I think the Lord wants us to go to confession to somebody else to remind ourselves that it's not just me and Jesus, that we actually need to be reconciled to the whole church. And so that happens in the person of the church's minister that we're brought back. And sometimes this symbolically happens in tons of people going to confession, and you see one person there and you see the other person there. It's like, okay, this whole church is in need of mercy. And when we need to be restored, not just to Jesus, not just to God, but actually to the church. Absolutely. And so we're reconciled to the church.
Right. Right. And every time we receive this mercy, every time we come before Him, every time we receive this mercy, we decide to, or give this mercy to others. We participate in that action of the Lord healing us as one body in Christ. It's it's not just the individual, your own individual path to holiness. Right. You're so narrow-minded that you're not...
I can be superstar saint.
Yeah, no. It's every... You're healing all of that. So when we talked about that, how these names of the sacrament of penance kind of build on each other, conversion, penance, confession, forgiveness, reconciliation, we have to remember that. We're not just being reconciled to God or to with ourselves, right, in our own brokenness, but with all of us, right? We're being reconciled as one body in Christ that we are. So this is clear. The Lord in Mark's gospel, He goes, He begins His public ministry, He repent. Time of fulfillment is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel. Repent. Turn your heart back to God. Believe in the gospel.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it ends with a great quote from St. Ambrose, whose tomb about this day I will have just celebrated Mass nearby, or maybe somebody would. So this is coming out while I'm in Europe.
Okay.
And so when we're in Milan, we're going to the Basilica of St. Ambrose. St. Ambrose was the Archbishop of Milan. And so I don't think we're celebrating Mass at his tomb. I think they told us it'd be an altar nearby,
but
nonetheless, can't wait. So St. Ambrose says of the two conversions that in the church there are water and tears, the water of baptism and the tears of repentance. So two waters of renewal, one being baptism and the other being tears. I have people sometimes come to the confession, I don't know why I'm crying. I do. You're sorry for your sins and you're returning to the Lord and your experience is love and mercy. It's okay to cry. That's why there's tissues there. So
perfectly appropriate.
Yeah, perfectly appropriate to cry.
Yeah. Absolutely. Okay. Ugh.
We should cross it off, huh?
Go back to confession. Go to confession. You know how you're, I've seen vanity plates that say go to Mass. They're not a vanity plate that says go to Mass on the car, I guess I should say. You can't have multiple, right? That's like the whole thing about them. There can only be one. If I were going to have one, it'd be go to confession, but I don't think that that would fit on a vanity plate.
Seven letters. You could just get confess. That's seven letters.
Anyway, please go. Oh, okay. Beautiful. The Lord's mercy awaits, dying to be poured out. Okay, so we'll end with John chapter 20, verses 19 through 23. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the doors were locked where the disciples were for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in their midst and said to them, "Peace be with you." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples rejoiced when they saw the Lord. Jesus said to them again, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you forgive are forgiven them, and whose sins you retain are retained."